As a quarterback, I love sports. But sometimes when I get hit on my blind side, front side, and put on my backside, I wonder, is Sport Clips better than sports? Because Sport Clips haircuts is sports on TV, plus a relaxing haircut, hot steam towel, and massaging shampoo, which is better than sports plus Sport Clips. It's a game changer. Check in online at sportclips.com.
Hey, everybody, it's Mark Pattison. I am back again with another great episode of Finding Your Summit, all about people overcoming adversity and finding their way. We're going to get to another great episode here in a minute. But before we get going and get rolling, I want to just remind everybody that they can go and check out my pursuits. I've got Mount Everest coming up. I leave March 30th. If you want to find out more about that, you can do so at markpattisonnfl.com. And I will have a link from Garmin that you can actually follow me up and down the mountain. And also something I've just launched at the beginning of the year, my daughter has epilepsy. So we started something called Emilia's Everest. And so we've been on this fundraising campaign through a big event the other night here in Sun Valley. And our goal is to reach and raise $29,029. And we are well on our way to doing that. Our hope is one day through awareness and dollars that she will overcome her Everest, her mountain, and be cured of seizures, which she has every day. So again, you can find that link through markpattisonnfl.com. And finally, if you would, please go tell your friends about the podcast, number one. And number two, if you'd go in and give a ratings and review, you can do that through the link again on my website on the tab podcast and go to iTunes ratings and review. I don't really care about being popular necessarily, but popularity does have something to do with exposure and exposure to all these wonderful and amazing people that are doing incredible things like my guest I have on today. So let me start off with this quote, and then we're going to get into it. If you remain calm in the midst of great chaos, it is the surest guarantee that it will eventually subside. That was by the great actress Julie Andrews. And today I have on the podcast Jack Kavanaugh, all the way just outside Dublin, Ireland, which I've been to. Jack, how you doing?
I am great, and thanks so much for having me today. I'm delighted to be here.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to throw that quote out because it talks about in the midst of chaos that things will subside in your life. That is exactly what happened. You're a young lad, as they say, over in Ireland, in Scotland. And why don't we go back to the day that your life changed in a very significant way, and then we'll kind of move from there.
Yeah, well, I think it's maybe before the event itself, it might be useful to give your audience a bit of context about my life a little bit before that, because I was just coming through my teenage years at this stage. And like all of us who've gone through those years, I had gone through the questioning that you do and trying to understand your sense of identity and how you fit in. I was a very athletic guy. I played a lot of rugby. I did a lot of running. I was incredibly passionate about water sports and adventure sports. And it was a period where you push out against the limits of your own comfort zone and your family and your teachers and coaches. And as I did that, I started to come up with a good sense of who I was and good answers to those questions. Age 19, that summer, I had finished my first year in college. I was studying pharmacy in Trinity. I'd always been interested in the intersection between health and people and how do you allow people to thrive. And just before I went back into my second year of college, I was finishing up a season having worked as a windsurfing instructor in the west of Ireland. And I went away on holidays with some of my best mates. And on the first day, as I'd done so many times that summer and that day as well, I ran down the beach. I dived into the water over a wave, not anticipating just how shallow it was. And unfortunately, I hit my head off the sand, and in that moment, I broke my neck. And so you talk about the capacity to stay calm in chaos. That moment was quite surreal, actually, because I was face down in the water and I couldn't move. And in that moment, time kind of slowed down, actually. I was very lucky that I had a lot of experience in the water, having spent years as an instructor, as a lifeguard, sailing when I was younger, and the list went on. And I was completely aware of what had happened, but very still. And that stillness and calmness and sort of serenity just came over me. And I became almost like you would see on TV where your life flashes in front of your eyes. That's very much what I had. And the things that are important came to me, which were my family, my mom, dad, and my two sisters, the dog at home, Poppy. I saw my girlfriend at the time. I thought of my six friends on the beach, and maybe would they get to me before I ran out of oxygen or not, and what would be the implications for them if they, in terms of guilt or shame or whatever. And within a minute or two, a good friend of mine, Steve, reached in under my chest and lifted me up, and he said, what are you playing at? And I said, Steve, I'm not playing. I hit my head. I think I've damaged my neck. And he was like, right, you're at it again. And he dropped me back in the water. But luckily enough, the guys came and took me out before any serious damage, further damage was done.
Wow, that is an incredible story. And again, I think you're my third spinal cord injury person I've had on the pod. And, you know, each one is unique in its own way. And one was a skiing accident. Another one was a football injury, American football. And now, you know, the story of diving in the surf too shallow, breaking your neck, and just, you know, literally your life playing out like a movie, you know, right in front of you. Just like, you know, where do you go from here? And so the moment of impact, and again, as you described, you know, it's slow-mo and it's going to a grind, and you're seeing all these people in your life that are important, and just like, what is life going to be? Did you have any illusions that this would be just a temporary tweak or, you know, break that you're going to get through? Or, you know, was the seriousness of the injury, at what point in time did that really start to sink in? Was it the helicopter ride off the beach, or how did that all play out?
Yeah, so I don't think how serious it was ever lost on me. I was trained as a lifeguard, and I was trained to deal with scenarios just like that. Wow. And so on the beach, with some of my mates, I said, look, guys, there's a chance that I won't get up from this, you know? And as all good friends do, they're comforting you and they're normalizing things. And soon enough, as you said, I was strapped up and in the back of an ambulance on the way to a helipad. And the next day I woke up and in intensive care with my head in a cage and tubes going in everywhere. And as I gradually became aware of my surroundings, I do still remember one of my best friends, Gareth, walking around the bottom of the bed. And he'd obviously pulled the short straw, the first one to come and see me. And I couldn't speak, but I mouthed the words, it's going to be okay. And that was kind of my first decision, because I did know that this was going to be a tough challenge. But I suppose I was very lucky that I had a strong sense of sort of tenacity from before my injury that maybe I learned through sports. It might have partly been through my raring or whatever, but it was a willingness to show up and face the hard things. And that was the decision I made, and that was my first decision. And I can remember, I know you have a pedigree, an NFL pedigree. I remember a couple of days later, being on the meds, on the pain meds at the time, because I couldn't move anything below my neck and I couldn't speak because I was on a ventilator. They had an alphabet that they would hold up and they'd run their finger along the alphabet. And I came out of sort of a delirious sleep, and I'd obviously had some sort of a dream to the end of being in the middle of a, of a team talk, and my mind goes to the kind of NFL sports movies that you'll see, where the team talk is very passionate and stuff. And I spelled out the phrase "victory is forever." Yeah. And I'm still trying to fully understand what that meant in that moment. But for me, it was at that moment, and ever since, it's really encapsulated that the little wins that you have day in, day out, whether that's in your mindset, whether it's a physical win, whether it's some sort of a business win, whatever it is, those little victories that you have along the way are things that can never be taken away, and they all add up to form your identity. And that was something that I really had to reconnect with on that journey. You know,
I do know. I mean, I don't know on your level, but I know on the, you know, the analogies that you were just drawing up. And you know, one of the things that you're talking about is the power of choice. Okay.
Yeah.
And you know, the one commonality that you have between these other two guys, great guys that I've had the pleasure of speaking with, is this whole notion of mindset. And I've mentioned this before. Former NFL great player Jerry Robinson played for the Raiders, played for the Philadelphia Eagles, and the first thing that he had said out of his mouth when I interviewed him on the very, very early origins of Finding Your Summit podcast, probably like podcast number 10, was, "Jerry, how are you doing?" And he said, "Every morning I wake up with an attitude of gratitude." And I think when you start talking about those little wins, you also get little defeats too. And at the end of the day, you want more wins than you have defeats, because it's not always going to be rainbows and butterflies. And even in my little world where I'm training, you know, not every day I'm motivated to get out of bed and go do the things that you got to do. And those are all the things that you've had to do on a much more difficult level, just because of the restrictions that your body is holding your back that you want to actually go out and do. And so you have to have that attitude, you know, at even a higher level than whatever I have, to make sure that you sustain that and to keep it going. So I want to ask you about, now you've had your injury and your best buddy is there at the foot of the bed and you're going to say it's okay, but now the reality really hits, right? And so lead me through that for the next, you're probably always going to be in therapy or working your body. I'm not sure what word you want to use, but the transition of you're laying on your back with tubes down your mouth, and now you got to, like, you know, the first emergence for you getting to where you are functional, where you are today. Like, what, how long a period was that for you?
Yeah. So that scene that I painted for you, your listeners, that was in the day immediately after. And the injury happened on holidays in Portugal. So in the weeks after, I was air ambulanced back to Ireland. I became severely unwell. I nearly didn't make it, but I did. And in the months afterwards, I found myself out in rehab. And really, at that point, my first job was like a child having the umbilical cord removed. It was to learn to breathe unaided. And then I had to go on to relearn to use about 15% muscle function that was remaining. So my shoulders, biceps, and wrists. Physically, that was very demanding. But psychologically, and you pointed to mindset a few times, it was even more demanding, because all over again, I went back and I asked myself all the questions I'd answered as a teenager, all that piece about identity, you know, and I realized that I was the same Jack as I ever was before, but that I'd also unlocked a mental toolkit. And look, adversity and challenge is all relative. And I call this toolkit the other self, and everybody has it. You'll have it as you face the mountains you climb, and Everest will absolutely bring this out in you, and your training for it will. But no more than a mother, a single mother trying to raise a couple of kids, or whatever challenge you can imagine. The other self is that part of ourselves that only gets discovered or uncovered when we take on a big challenge or we face a big challenge in our lives. And it's the part of ourselves that realizes we're capable of more than we ever imagined possible. And it gets us to think in an entirely different way. And you've pointed to mindset, and that's kind of the foundation. And then on top of that comes the environment, and you start to surround yourself with the right people and the right physical environment and the right environmental cues, so that can trigger good habits, and good habits then lead you closer to your goals. And my goals at that time were relatively ambitious, because I realized, and this is something that I will speak about a lot, is that lying in the bed in those early days, that if I didn't have a big vision, if I didn't have some vision that inspired me, and if you think about the word to be inspired or to inspire is to breathe in. So it's kind of like the breath of life, having a bigger vision that inspires you. That if I didn't have a vision, that I was going to dwindle and gradually lose my way. So I set some big goals, and the first big one was to make it back to college. And I did, moved away from home and lived back out in college 13 months after my injury. And that was putting me so far outside my comfort zone. You talk about the stretch zone, that was way past that. And I barely survived the first couple of months back. Everything was way past where I was ready for. But I did get through it. And from there, I sat down with my family at Christmas, and there was tears, and we realized that I'd gotten back through the first couple of months. And it was really then that we started asking, well, what else is possible? And from there, I started seeing friends traveling, and I wondered, well, why not me? I saw people going and doing crazy things like skydives and whitewater rafting, and having been wrapped up in bubble wrap in rehab, a big thing for me to communicate to people outside was, hold on, I've left the rehab now, I'm no longer a patient, and I'm a person again. And so all of these kind of distinctions were really important. I don't talk about physical therapy anymore. I talk about training my body, because no matter what state you show up in the gym any day, you're starting from that point. So I talk about it as training, and all these little distinctions and small habits over time led to some wonderful things.
Incredible. Incredible. One of the things that I noted from something that you had said before is really breaking boundaries, right? And, you know, for you, it's all relative to everybody. You know, for somebody, and I go back to the other word that you used a few minutes ago when you said inspiring. And people have said to me, Mark, you're inspiring. And I don't think I'm inspiring. The only difference is I've chosen to get up and go do something. And that takes discipline and dedication to whatever you're trying to do. And that's the only difference, getting up and going and doing something that you want to do to pursue your goal. And that could be making a couch. That could be knitting a blanket. And that could be climbing a mountain. It doesn't really matter what that is. It's just taking the initiative to do something that inspires others, because they haven't done that, right? And so for you, you know, getting up and having that mindset, breaking boundaries and putting goals out there, I'm sure like anybody, was hugely important, right? Because I don't think that you can actually figure out where you're going if you don't know the roadmap or what you're trying to accomplish, right? And so, so super interesting. So let's talk about some of these things that you talk about. And one of the things that came up, and it seemed like it was really important in your life, is to this whole bug of travel. Everybody loves to travel, of course, but it brings, I'm sure, additional challenges when you have a spinal cord injury and you want to do that. But did you go to the US? Is that where you went?
Yeah, so I'll absolutely tell you about that. And I just, on something you said there, I want to comment. So you talk about the dedication and the discipline. And yeah. I think for me, my life was really fragmented. In some ways, nothing changed, and in some ways, everything changed, you know, because you have to reimagine a lot of parts of your life, you know. For me, confidence came from doing, you know, from those small actions day in, day out of actually, you know, showing up and failing in small ways repeatedly. But that builds momentum, and that gave me confidence over time to try some of these bigger things. Yeah, so you mentioned that the travel bug really, really got me. And I saw a lot of my friends traveling, and I came to understand that this was something that I needed to do, that I wanted to do. And as I sat with a good friend of mine from college, we had remembered a promise we made to each other at the end of our first year, and that was that we would go traveling before the end of college, and it would be a story we could tell our grandkids. Now, I was being told all the things that I couldn't do at this time, and it was kind of, in some ways, like sticking two fingers up to all of that. And we decided that, like so many people in Europe, we wanted to go and do the West Coast of America and do the big road trip and all of these kind of things. And so that became an ambition, and we put the idea out there because I really wanted to build community into this, to bring the story to others, and to show people that, look, limitations are only perceived. The only limits that are really there are the ones that you put in your own way. Yeah. And so we made a documentary about it as we went, and it was rodeo, it was rough cut, us figuring it out as we went, but it was an amazing learning experience. And look, that documentary went on to do some great things. People can get it on Amazon Prime now, Breaking Boundaries. But it was really the story of a group of friends grappling with what does this journey of life and major setback look like? You know, when one of your peers experiences something dramatic like that, it shakes everybody. And it was just really a band of brothers coming together and making things possible. And so we flew out to California, and we did this big trip, and we bumped into all sort of celebrity faces, and found ourselves jumping out of planes and doing all sorts of stuff that you shouldn't apparently do if you've had a spinal cord injury. So it was good fun.
Well, yeah, but a lot of the things you're talking about doing is, it's amazing how many people haven't been to Europe, and I'm sure it's amazing how many people in Europe haven't been to the States, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's one of those things where, again, it's about getting up and making a goal, making a challenge, and getting after it. And again, it doesn't have to be climbing Mount Everest. It can be something as simple as giving the travel bug. There's no greater teacher in the world than being able to see the world in different elements and what people are like. And at the end of the day, and I've been all over the world, to me, people are people. And for the most part, people are people. And the things that get all messy are the governments. And that's where, you know, chaos ensues. And so when you get out there, you really have a changed opinion about the different people, or maybe an idea you've had about a certain culture or race or something, and it's all for nothing. But it's very inspiring that you can go and you're able to do this. So where can people find this on Amazon Prime? Because I for sure want to see this.
Yeah, so it's on Amazon Prime. It's called Breaking Boundaries. And actually, one of your other guests from earlier in the years, Maynard. So was somebody that I had.
Yeah, we say that
Kyle,
again.
Kyle Maynard. So Kyle makes an appearance in the documentary, and he was somebody that I had gained a lot of hope from, and who had motivated and inspired me from afar. And on one of our first days on the trip, actually, we happened to bump into him rolling down the streets of San Diego. So for anybody who's been listening for a long time, he makes a great impression in the documentary. But really, that was the catalyst. I think, you know, when you push the boat out in any area of your life, it stretches you a little bit, and it gives you a taste for that, and it allows you then to do it in other areas. And that was very much the learning behind making that documentary for me, because it allowed me to go on afterwards back into my life with fresh eyes on the world. And that was just the beginning of my traveling, but also with fresh eyes as to what was possible, you know, that sense of confidence from having set an ambition and taken action and achieved in some way, that adds up, you know. And I really felt coming home from that in some ways I had closed the chapter. I had closed the chapter on people telling me what wasn't possible. It was almost as though I'd convinced a huge proportion of people around me that, you know what, you're right, limitations are only perceived, and how can we reimagine that for ourselves? So it was a great thing to do.
That's incredible. So did Prime, did they approach you, or was this a project that you approached them on?
So I think it's a couple of years ago now. So we had an agent at the time, and he recommended the documentary to Prime, and that's how it came about in the end, I think.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. And when that happens, do you guys self-fund that, or is that Prime, Amazon comes to you with the budget and everything else?
Yeah, so wouldn't it be wonderful? The way we did it was, as I said, it was pretty run and gun. I threw up a GoFundMe page when I came home, very inspired from meeting up with the guys and coming up with this concept. And all of a sudden, we had a couple of thousand raised. People were really inspired by the idea, and we recognized, wow, in some ways, uh-oh, now we have to go and do this thing, a bit of positive social pressure, but also that it wasn't going to be enough. And so I went out, if we wanted to do it properly, and so I went out and raised some money privately as well, pitched a couple of different people around Ireland, and we raised enough to go out and do it. And we did all the post-production ourselves. An amazingly talented friend of mine, Lean Tangney, he's producing over in Toronto now, actually, but he filmed and did a lot of the editing. We had another friend, Dan Flanagan, who's working with NBC in New York now. And so we had a good team of guys involved with it, ran the whole marketing campaign ourselves, and we got some of the biggest viewerships for the channel that we launched it on in Ireland. So
love
it was
that.
Good fun.
Yeah, no, I love that. And going back to your story really quickly, I just want the listener, just because Kyle was on about episode 20, but I had seen, I ran into Kyle. I was on a mountain in Argentina called Aconcagua, and we're up at about, I don't know, 21,000 feet on summit day. And my group expedition party, we started with 12 people and now we're down to 6, and we are making our way, pretty gassed, you know, decided to take a break, sit down and have some water, sitting on a rock. And all of a sudden I saw this something coming up towards me, and it was low, hovering off the ground. I was like, what the hell is that? And as it gets closer and closer, it turns out to be Kyle. And Kyle Menard is somebody who was born with basically no arms or legs. So they're cut off at his elbows and his knees.
Yeah.
Yep. And he like crawls up to me, and I'm like, hey. And he was like, what's up, dude? And we had a great chat, for a quick chat. And then I actually saw him on the other side of the mountain. He had summited. He was with two or three other guys who were helping him with that, but he was doing all the work himself. And I just couldn't imagine, like, number one, him doing that. And number two, you know, I went back to, like, half our party couldn't make it, right? They didn't have a variety of things. They weren't, their chemistry wasn't right. They hadn't trained right and everything else. And here you have somebody crawling up a mountain at 23,000 feet, and he actually pulled it off. And I was just blown away. And, you know, again, kind of like you, imagining possibilities and breaking boundaries and going to places you never thought were possible. For him, that mindset of just not going to lose, can do anything. And just because it's a little harder doesn't mean he can't do it. And it's really inspiring. And it was really cool to have him on the pod.
Yeah, he's a great guy, and I can imagine he just doesn't give up. You know, he just keeps on trucking, one step at a time.
So as you go forward, I want to make sure I throw this in there because I feel very fortunate and lucky to actually be talking to you here, to one of the 50 most incredible people who are shaping modern Ireland. That's you?
Yeah, well, it's on the list anyway.
I know there's probably some kings and queens on there, but you know, that's really amazing that you're able to make that. And now you've also transitioned a little bit. You've got a TEDx thing, one or two of those that you've done. That's awesome. So like as you point your way out there, I mean, you obviously in the great country of Ireland, you are making an impact. And so I guess the question is, you know, how are you doing that, and what's your vehicle to get your, not necessarily your name, because I know you're not looking to be popular, because you'd rather be not popular and have full use of your legs. But I mean, how do you see this?
Yeah, so a couple of things. I suppose to fill out the last couple of years, I qualified as a pharmacist. I went on and I worked in different industries for a period of time. Through that period, I was really leveraging the learnings that I'd had, and I started doing a lot of speaking. So you pointed to the TED Talk, which was, it seems like an age ago now, but that was kind of my first big foray into that field. And so I do a lot of speaking now, from everything from big corporate events and seminars to running workshops and everything down to schools, because inspiring the future leaders, you know. But
is that primarily in Ireland or places outside of Ireland?
So I only went out on my own, completely independent, in September, full-time coaching and speaking. And I've had some international clients since then, but up until then it was dominantly in Ireland, but that's spreading further afield now, which is really exciting. I also sit on the board of the National Disability Authority and the Centre for Excellence in Universal Design. So trying to really, what I see happening there is gradually in the world of, and I struggle with the word disability, because I think really it's a perception. It's an environment that's not set up to meet someone's needs. The environment that surrounds any of us is the only thing that enables or disables us, whether that's culture, whether that's law, whether that's the physical environment. That's something I'm very passionate about, is being a part of an organization within Ireland that is helping to reshape in some way or inform public opinion about that kind of concept. And as we see around the world, the playing field being leveled for people of all perceived ability or disability, we're really seeing an emergence of leaders, the likes of Kyle and some of maybe the other guys that you've had on that have sustained injuries or who've grown up with perceived disabilities, and they think in a different way because they've been forced to. That's valuable in a society that is only now beginning to understand what it means to truly embrace diversity in all its forms and the benefits that come from that. So that's part of what I'm very much about at the moment. But I suppose a couple of years ago, I had, age 25, I'm 27 now, age 25, I'd kind of hit a lot of the benchmarks that are recognized as societal success. And I had this quiet sense of discontent despite that. And I had to sit down and really question myself, who am I doing it for, and what's this all about? And I do a lot of journaling. I do a lot of self-reflection, because I think it's important to get closer to yourself so that you can have your best, bring your best to the world. And as I did, I found myself writing, and I share this quote a lot when I speak, but this is what I said, and I think this really sums up what I'm about. So I said, there is no right or wrong path. just a series of events that gives us a flavor of what it is that either sets our heart alight or dampens our soul. What I do know to be true is that in a world that is not always a smooth ride, and a life that is more disillusioned, disconnected, and full of people wearing masks than ever before, the bravest thing that any person can possibly do, despite the challenges they may face, is to bring their authentic selves to the world. And that is when the magic will happen. So really, I'm about creating environments for people where they are free to remove some of those masks, to get closer to a sense of connection, and not to feel so disillusioned. Because as children, we developed all of the skills that we need to thrive and to do well despite the challenges we face. And so much of that is about allowing yourself to truly show up as yourself, not as some discounted version, not as a bad impersonation of somebody else, but to really step in and own like whatever brand of magic that you have, that is your own talent, skills, way of seeing the world, and of doing that in service of other people. So that's what's inspiring me at the moment on trying to get that out there.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because you said you're 27 and I've got many years on you, and I didn't really figure that out till about 8 years ago. And it's, you know, I don't know if you felt this way, but you know, your injury either now or later in your life, it certainly has rolled that way for a guy named Chris Waddell, who I interviewed, who became a Paralympic skier, won all kinds of championships, incredible person, but it's really the gift for me has been going through my hardships, which I went through 10 years ago or so. And possibly the gift for you will have, you know, unfortunately, hit you at a younger age, but it's made you come to grips with who you are and what you want to be about, and really made you be much more vulnerable about who you are. And that the light that you can shed for other people when they see that will come back your way tenfold. And that's what I've seen in my life, which has led to these podcasts and led to climbing mountains and led to doing this fundraiser I'm doing for my daughter, Amelia's Everest. And you know, if I hadn't gone through these hardships, I wouldn't be doing all this stuff. And it's and that then has the ultimate gift has been to have guys like you and Kyle and others on the podcast and listen to your story and really just really understand where you guys are coming from and hearing those things. Because in addition to writing down journal writing, which I do too, and having a vision board and all that stuff, is this whole thing called perspective. And I've mentioned this multiple times, but you know, everybody's got their degree of what they're going through, and kind of when you all huddle and you put it together, and in some weird way, the positivity comes out of that, saying, well, you know, maybe my situation isn't as bad as Kyle's or as Jack's or as this person or that person. And it starts to make sense a little bit more. And then you can really start get better clarity to do the things that you really want to do. As you said, kind of live this life of adventure and going out and inspire people by giving them insights in some of the things that you've already taken in such a young age. So I think all that said, you're way, you know, years beyond, you know, your current age, and you're doing this, you know, way before I even had a chance to, I had a chance, I guess, but I recognized, you know, like where I could really take who I am and what I could do. So congrats to you.
Thank you. It's all in its right time. And things that I heard a couple of years ago, somebody asked me to distill down my three biggest learnings. And my first one is, everybody has their shit. It's just boxed in different ways.
Yeah.
And you essentially said that there. It's like, going down the street, my shit or my challenge is quite obvious, you know? But I don't see that Mary across the road is barely got out the door because she's facing crippling anxiety, that somebody else is struggling with their sexual identity, that another person is facing hard times financially or got a bad diagnosis or whatever it is. And the list goes on and on and on. And the reality is that when you come to understand that at some point, everybody faces a challenge in some part of their life, that it's all relative. It actually is quite, it levels the playing field, you know, it doesn't make you feel so special when your challenge arrives, but it also gives you a far greater level of empathy for humanity in general when you do face your challenge, you know. And it's inevitable that we do, and it's how we respond to it that is ultimately the catalyst for growth or not. Do you stay remaining in sort of a bitter cycle of why me, or can you switch your perspective, as you used that word a couple of minutes ago, to say, well, why not me? And how can I leverage this? And how can I learn from this? And how can I create opportunity or fresh insight? And how can I become a better person because of or in spite of this?
Love all that. Jack Kavanaugh, you have not become a victim. You've become a warrior. And that's really what defines you. And that will really, you know, clear the path for you as you go forward in your life and the different things that you're going to do. So where can people find you, Jack?
So people can find me on all the online platforms. My handle is at Jack Kavanaugh IRL. Now, when you read that, it might look like Jack Kavanaugh girl, but I can assure you that's not the case. So it's Jack Kavanaugh IRL for Ireland or in real life. You can also get me at jack-kavanaugh.com. And I'd love to hear from you. If anything that I had to say resonated, drop me a message, and I would love to hear from you.
No, that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, listen, I absolutely appreciate you coming on. You're an inspiration. You're beyond your years. Keep doing what you got to do and just take this conversation that we had and keep, you know, spreading your love and your magic around the world. And you're going to inspire a lot of people to do great things as well.
Well, thank you very much. Cheers.
All right. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Hey, and thank you so much for listening to the Find Your Summit podcast. We are so glad to have you along for this journey. And if you enjoy the show, please tell a friend, share it on iTunes, spread it to the planet. We're looking to broadcast this to every person that is out there because, as you know, everybody has their own summit that they're going after. Okay, if you're looking to follow my journey, you can find that through my social links on markpattisonnfl.com. That's Mark, M-A-R-K, Pattison, P-A-T-T-I-S-O-N, NFL.com. So, until the next podcast, just remember, clear eyes, full hearts, and remember, it takes a little more to make a champion, so make it happen. Thank you. Bye.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.